This week, we kick it with an NBA champion, a member of the Showtime Lakers. He's fresh off five amazing days here in Maui, the current play-by-play guy for the G League South Bay Lakers, the one and only AC Green.
Let's go.
This is AC Green on the One Star Recruit Podcast. Thank you so much for your time, and let's go South Bay Lakers and Laker Nation.
Yo, yo, aloha. Welcome to the One Star Recruits Podcast. I'm DK, joined as always with my best friend of 25 years, Rip. We are a couple one stars who, like you, are on this journey of life. We're learning, loving, trying to get better every day with the help of some five-star athletes, entertainers, coaches, celebrities from around the world. With the NBA season right around the corner, we're going to kick the tires a little bit on the NBA season. Rip, I know we're full NFL mode, but we're going to shift a little NBA. LeBron is finishing up his Italian vacation. A little last dance kind of situation for AD and the King here. We have Lakers Nation and front office show host Trevor Lane with us on the podcast. Trevor, what up, man? Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Yeah, the season is starting up. There's a new season that's coming around. Everybody's doing media day today and all kinds of stuff going on. Preseason is just around the corner. It's an exciting time of year. So thank you guys for having me on.
It is firing off, bro. Let's start with some LA love first and foremost, just straight up. Okay, Trevor. So Rip and I are from the Valley, Phoenix, Arizona. When we have guests on from Phoenix or Tempe, where I'm from, Arizona State, more importantly, that area, I love to give my favorite spots. Ted's Hot Dogs. I say it way too much, but it's my favorite place in the world. I did it last week in Costa Mesa. I lived in Costa Mesa for a handful of years, so I did the same thing in damn Costa Mesa. I'm going to pass the mic to you, bro. What part of LA do you live in? Your favorite food spot and your favorite Los Angeles activity not everybody in LA knows about?
Oh, man. I grew up in Orange County, which is a little different than L.A. I grew up in Mission Viejo, went to Mission Viejo High School and all of that, graduated from Concordia, which is in Irvine. I'll tell you what, as far as my favorite spot there's a little pizza place called Antonucci's that's in Mission Viejo that is absolutely fantastic. I miss their pizza all the time. Whenever I'm there, I have to go check it out. It is really good. It's a little place in a little strip mall, but it is excellent. Absolutely love it. And I just can't seem to find pizza like that anywhere else. It's the best. So got to give them a shout out.
Some Orange County love, Matt. What do you got, Rip? What do you got?
Are we talking thin crust Antonucci's or what kind of pie?
It's more of a thick crust, but it's just the toppings they put on. The pepperonis are like extra small pepperonis, but just have a ton of flavor in them. And it's just the right amount of cheese. And even when you get to the crust is fantastic. So you don't want to stop eating it after, you know, some people just kind of throw the crust away. They eat the pizza itself and then toss the crust. My wife does that all the time. Not with this pizza. Like, it's all just wonderful.
No ranch needed for the Lane family.
Exactly.
Down there. You know, Mission Viejo, a lot of, tell me if I'm wrong, Rip, you probably know this. I feel like a lot of like pitchers and quarterbacks might come from Mission Viejo. Is that wrong?
Did I make that up? Mark Sanchez.
Sanchez. Yep.
Sanchez. Yep.
First one that comes to mind.
Yeah. Maybe that's the only one. I think I always think they're more for some reason. The beautiful area. How about you, Rip? You lived in LA by the airport. Remember those good old days, Playa del Rey?
Yeah. I spent about a dozen years in Playa del Rey, like probably one of the most hidden pockets of LA down there. And Cantalini's Salerno Beach, Italian restaurant right down off of Vista Del Mar toward the beach. Amazing little Italian spot, like a 500-yard walk from the beach. Cantalini's, amazing.
Like an Italian food podcast all of a sudden.
Rip,
that apartment was pretty smooth, but those planes were so obnoxious. I don't know how people can LAX lifestyle live that. You pulled it off, though, bro, successfully.
Yeah, 500 yards from LAX also, man. It's like a flight every 30 seconds basically coming out your apartment window. It's brutal.
Holy shit. You know, it's close to the El Segundo G League team there. Trevor, you spent any time down there checking out the G League team? We're big G League guys. I worked for the Santa Cruz Warriors for a handful of years, so I got a special place in my heart for it. 1 to 5 stars, South Bay Lakers.
With the South Bay Lakers, I haven't gone to check them out recently. But G League games are always a ton of fun. I mean, look, it's something that, you know, you don't hear a lot of people saying, oh, I'm going to go to a G League game right now, but you get a lot closer to the floor in a G League game than you would in an NBA game buying a regular ticket. It's just a very different, more close up, more intimate experience when you're there at those games. And now that the NBA has just continued to grow the G League, it's becoming more and more of a true minor league as time has passed. And it's becoming more of a real path into the NBA for these young players. So you can really get out there and see some of the future stars in the league by checking out the G League. So I would highly recommend it. Again, I I'm kicking myself. I should have gone to see South Bay Lakers more often, but been a little bit busy with life and the parent club, the Lakers, and everything else going on for sure.
You're doing your thing, brother. Talk to Rip. Rip's a big VIP there. Rip, who's your guy down there that we work with? Rip loves going down to G League games because one stars get treated like five stars. And you nailed it, bro. You could take your whole family for $50 and see really what I think is the second best basketball league in sports. Am I right, Rip?
Yeah, I mean, like Trevor said, there's not a bad seat in the house. And for one stars like us, we get the press pass, the media credential. We sit courtside. And we had Mac McClung on a couple times last year. And there's some guys who are definitely, I think, going to get some minutes with the parent club this year. Jay Huff is a big seven-footer who Lakers might need a little bit this year. Right, Trev?
They might indeed. Yeah, he looked really good during summer league as well. He opened up a lot of eyeballs, a lot of Lakers fans messaging me saying, what can we do to keep this guy? Can he get a full roster spot? And again, he was with the G League club, the South Bay Lakers, last season, right now on a contract that would put him towards the G League again this year. Wouldn't surprise me, though, if I don't know if it's not the Lakers, some other club is going to come in and swoop him up unless the Lakers can find a way to clear a two-way spot or something like that for him.
Seven-footers do not grow on trees, bro. Let's talk about this. So, Trevor, I live here in Maui. Beautiful. I'm on the west side.
Nice.
We had the Showtime Lakers out here for a reunion last week. It was terrific. It was Kareem, Magic, James Worthy, Pat Riley, Jeannie Buss, our guy on the show today, AC Green. We had them all out here. First, let's give some Maui love. Have you been, Trevor, to Maui? Have you experienced this wonderful place?
I have not. I've been to Oahu twice. I've been to Honolulu. And I went there for soccer tournaments when I was much younger. And so I haven't actually gone and really explored Hawaii, but it's on my to-do list for sure.
It's on his list now. Rip, you need to get your ass out here too. You both have a friend here. So you guys call me when you land here. We'll show you what's up. But it was great to have the Showtime Lakers here, not only highlighting the island, but really kind of giving some, I don't know, goosebumps type feelings, them getting back together. Rip, I'm going to start with you, and then I'm going to pass it over to Trevor. What's your favorite Showtime Lakers squad memory, and what player stands out the most for you, Rip?
I mean, as you know, DK, we grew up Suns fans, so not a lot of good memories for Suns fans when it comes to the Showtime Lakers. But I think just a favorite memory in general is Kareem Skyhook. We see one guy, I think, in the G League trying that the last few years, but that's kind of a lost art. No one does the Skyhook anymore. And as far as favorite player, I got to go Kurt Rambis because he did play for the Suns for a while. He's kind of an underrated guy off the bench and really just a fan favorite in L.A., Phoenix, everywhere. I believe he was at the Showtime reunion last week as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm going Rambis for my favorite Showtime Laker
Rambis.
Player.
Oh, I fucking love it. Some would say him and his wife a little meddling in front office stuff that we don't like so much. We'll talk on the second half about that. Trevor, same question. What's your favorite memory of that Showtime squad? Who's your favorite player?
The Showtime team was my initial connection to the Lakers. It's part of why I'm covering this team now today. By the earliest memory I have, literally, is of sitting on the couch with my dad watching the Showtime Lakers. Like a lot of kids back then, I tried to mimic Kareem Skyhook. I'm nowhere near as tall. Did not work out for me, but Kareem Skyhook was, of course, iconic. But one of my favorite Lakers of all time has been Magic Johnson and just the passing, the flair that he brought to the game. So some of the passes that he made were absolutely fantastic. And that's something that always sticks out to me was the way Magic Johnson just conducted a basketball game was phenomenal. And unforgettable.
Unforgettable. Trevor Lane in the house. Great memories, fellas. I'm going to go with my guy, AC Green, because shit, he's on the show and also a Phoenix Sun. Enjoy this interview with former Phoenix Sun, Maverick, Miami Heat, and of course, Los Angeles Lakers and current voice of the South Bay Lakers, our guy, AC Green.
Now joining the One Star Recruits podcast, we have a husband, a native of Portland, Oregon, a three-time NBA champion, and a guy who I can almost guarantee is never late to anything, the NBA Iron Man, AC Green. Thanks for hanging out with the One Stars, AC.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Rip. Thanks, bud.
You're on time for this interview. And to go along with that, your streak of 1,192 consecutive games played is really hard to comprehend. It's 14-plus straight seasons without missing a game. And for just a little context, the longest current streak in the NBA is 309 games by the Phoenix Suns' Mikal Bridges. And look, AC, I'm just trying to get my kid to not miss any days of school. You had a very successful basketball career. Is that the thing you're most proud of, the Ironman streak?
I definitely am proud of it, especially as time goes on and you start to sort of sit back and reflect and have a chance to talk to some, even your former teammates and colleagues. So you appreciate it a whole heck of a lot. You do. But I don't know. I think playing with some of the players that I had a chance to play with and teams and the Laker organization, it's just as a whole, I think that's some of the bigger accomplishments than the individual goal, honestly.
Always about the team. Speaking of Team AC, this is a little bit weird. I'm not sure how to just go out and say it, but I'm going to do it. My parents listen to the podcast. My mom in particular probably wants to thank you. I grew up in the 90s in Phoenix, Arizona, a huge Phoenix Suns fan. Part of growing up in the 90s was rooting for Charles Barkley, KJ, Elliot Perry, Mark West, you, all my guys. Another thing was I was a teenager, and we would talk about your abstinence streak during your career. The kids actually, this is something we knew about with our house and with our classroom. And it's a story. Nice. There's stories of looking back now of teammates sending women to tempt you during your rookie career. Was this an easy thing for you to commit to being abstinent, or was it more of a challenge at times? And on top of that, I just want you to know that you affected the youth in Phoenix during that time with this message.
Well, I appreciate that. I definitely do, DK, on that. I really, you know, because I had a lot of practice at it, so you develop momentum, you develop chemistry, where it becomes, you know, a habit, becomes a, you know, something that's a habit becomes sort of a something you be turn into a lifestyle, and then and it turns into a just second nature, and then just honestly becomes old hat. So you don't have to try and do anything. It's just part of who you are. And I think that's really was the evolution of, you know, just the whole not only practicing abstinence, living abstinence, but speaking on abstinence and letting the speech really be more nonverbal than even verbal, and showing people what to do as opposed to telling them, you know, what you should do or consider. And just to what you said, honestly, just the byproduct of that and seeing the what happened and what has happened, such as, you know, you young people in that youth movement there in the Phoenix, you know, the Phoenicians, as I call them, during that time. But it was a number of Phoenicians, quote unquote, in other cities, other states, other countries, honestly, that really gravitated toward that message, because it wasn't something that was talked about a lot at that time. And people wanted to know that it was possible. And all of a sudden you have an opportunity just to be that voice. That wasn't a lot of oracles from that standpoint. So I appreciate it. And that's really humbling just to get a chance to hear. And two high fives to your family for that.
Two high fives. I mean, it's really something, especially that time that just wasn't being talked about in the house. And for you to be able to rip up the scar to be watching Al McCoy on UPN 45 and then at halftime sitting down with my parents talking about, you know, AC Green deciding to stay away from sex. Let's talk about sex was something so new in my household. So thank you. I'm sure one of millions and millions, like you said, that it really helped. And that mental toughness was something as well that started to be built through kind of questions with my parents at that age that didn't want to be talked about necessarily. You've been doing the AC Green Foundation now for 30 years. How do you teach that mental toughness to teenagers and young adults going through it with a variety of things, especially nowadays? It's all kinds of addictions and social media and sex. The list goes on and on and on. What's kind of a practice? Rip and I talk about consistency with this podcast, consistency in life. Sounds like you're on that boat. What's some other practices that you teach?
Well, I think really it's the ability to really, one, love yourself, because, you know, and care for yourself, love yourself, but at the same time, really focus on trying to find a future, trying to find a hope, you know, trying to find something bigger than yourself that you can actually throw yourself into and really go after with all your heart. Okay. And of course, that's only going to come when you find a passion. All right. You might see something that you like and you experiment. And you might try it and like, after a couple of years, maybe a couple of months, that's not what I wanted to do. Get up, try it again. I thought that was my career. I saw myself becoming that quote unquote profession. But it's through the failures that really are the successes, because now you know what you don't want to do, what you don't want to commit to, what's not your passion. And it helps you eliminate time, which is the biggest thing that we have when we don't control. But then that leads to the second point, in which you sort of alluded to, honestly, a little bit earlier, and that's the self-control factor. Abstinence was just something, sexual abstinence was just something that regarded in that area itself. But as you said, it's so many other areas, so many other quote unquote addictions, it's so many other challenges that you just at all ages have to develop ability to say no to that and yes to something that's more positive, has more affirmation and leading you in a direction that you really want to try and go. And that's something, it just takes time. Once again, repetitive, positive behavior, affirmation, consistency helps you get that momentum to lead on a journey that ends up where you actually want to see a final destination and not a train wreck on the side of the road.
Beautiful. It's having a tool belt. It's having a tool belt too, so you can pull out the right tools at the right times to help make the right decisions, which, you know, guys like you along the way have helped us develop this tool belt, man. Thank you. That was a great breakdown.
No, thank you.
And just to go back to the foundation real quick, I know, you know, you're consistent in your career. You're always consistent out there talking to kids now. AC, just a little story here. I was at a Clippers Kings game at crypto.com arena toward the end of last season. I went out to grab some popcorn from the concession stand, and I saw you out near an elevator in that area, in the concession area, with a group of about 10 to 12 kids. And you could tell it was like an advice giving session because they were tuned in to what you were saying. Your foundation offers leadership programs and mentoring as well. How can Lakers fans or anyone else who wants to help make a difference to these kids get involved with your foundation?
Well, everything, you know, and I appreciate that, first of all, and I'll share a little bit about what that was about. But everything we talked about in any question, inquiries about the foundation really is normally going to be found at acgreen.com. So you can go and see those, you know, 3 decades in the journey that we've been on. And we still continue to be on now post-pandemic, hopefully, that we can still keep trying to make a difference. But right now, you know, we're really pouring our time and effort into revitalizing our kids and our youth. And that comes in the areas that we're working, middle schools right now, today, high schools. We are out really helping constructive behavior, okay? And I say more destructive and turn that into constructive behavior. Conflict resolution is what I spend normally four out of 5 days in the week during the school year teaching. Okay. And that's a few hours a day. And I get a chance to get in and I work at those different levels. And I have other trained professionals that get a chance to do that with me. And it's exciting. It really is. It's exciting. And that's part of who you saw that night there at crypto.com was some young people who were all, they all sort of benefited for good behavior, listening to the things that we were trying to advise and counsel, and through all kinds of challenges at their classes. They represented 4 different schools that particular night. And out of maybe 40, 50 kids, those dozen is the ones that really earned the opportunity to get a chance to come to that night. And so it was really, really good. And it's special too, because once again, they earned that right. It wasn't something that was given to them. And so we try and break down that whole entitlement attitude, that entitlement feeling in our younger generation that they are battling against so much, because it's a challenge for some parents, single or both, to really communicate with our kids today. And so they're trying to throw and shove things at them without the kids really earning those things. And they don't fully appreciate the opportunity, nor do they appreciate the people, the giver of those gifts. A lot of times these days. And so there comes a little disconnect, not only inside the home, but also at the school too, in the school level. And that's why they call organizations like mine to come in. Hey, can you help us communicate to this generation? And I'm like, I was born and raised to do this. I love it.
You've been doing it since I've been a fan of yours, AC. We were Phoenix Suns fans, I mentioned, in the 90s. You played in Miami and Dallas, but the main part of your career was spent in Los Angeles. 3 titles, some unbelievable teammates. You've made LA your home. Explain to One Star listeners why being a Laker is different than being a member of any other team.
You know, it starts with just the very fact of the sense of being, well, as I said, it's just something special, and not individually, but as a team. And you're finding a way that you are connected, and really doing it and providing a dream, and a dream for some of your teammates, a dream for some of the family members, who get a chance to participate, but also a dream for our community and Laker Nation fans throughout the world of really seeing a group of guys collectively over just a decade. Like as I pan down a little bit, you can sort of see what that says.
Showtime.
And you sort of look at that, and that's a championship trophy in the years in the 80s that reflects of, you know, just a vision of Dr. Jerry Buss, that really had to really see entertainment, Hollywood, come onto a basketball court. And so that was pretty phenomenal. And by a chance to draft in a young fella out of Michigan State by the name of Magic Johnson to help be that, you know, that orchestra leader. And it was something special just to be a part of that whole decade. And that's just for people who are just appreciating basketball, you know, 75 years in its existence right now, our Laker Nation in a sense, and us getting a chance to really come together and just reflect back on history and memories with our Laker Nation fans. That is something that is special, a little bit different than what most people have had a chance to see over the time. I think a lot of times you see a championship team and they're good for a year or two. And they're in the hunt for maybe 3 or 4 years. And then the team blows up, superstar leaves, there's something that happens, and next thing you know, who's the next team up? And then you're the same kind of repeated process. And it's just a cycle that sort of continues, or it's the one and done teams. You know, they have one great year and they cap it off and they get that crown, they get that chip that year, but then you don't sort of hear much more from them. But it was just something special to be a part of Laker Nation, as well as our Showtime era, especially where you just dominated for a whole decade. You know, the history and the record speaks for itself, you know, all the finals appearances and the championships and the finals at the same time. And the likes, the Kareems, the Magics, the Byron Scotts, Kurt Rambis, Bob McAdoo, you know, Norm Nixon, James Worthy, Michael Thompson, you know, I just started thinking and naming guys that you had a chance to be a part. And, you know, for me, it's a little bit different too, because, you know, I was fortunate enough to come back and play with Shaq and Kobe in that era and win another championship. And so that was to see that bridge that also goes to that first question. That was something that I was very much proud of, to see what Showtime did for me as a young AC Green, to being then the elder statesman on another hopefully championship quality team. And us winning that first championship of that three-peat, and first for Shaq and Kobe and Derek Fisher, Rick Fox, Glenn Rice, those guys hadn't tasted that before. And that made it special just to show them, hey, this is what a championship DNA looks like. And especially our Laker way of doing it. So very special time.
It's a movie life. You're in LA, but it's literally, I see a movie life. It's so inspirational and amazing. I can't wait for the screenplay to drop. The common denominator for you and me, I worked in Golden State at the time when there was a turnaround with ownership. We watched old owner leave, you know, governor, we should say, and Joe Lacob and Peter Guber come in and change everything from the top down. Jerry Buss did that similar thing with branding and getting the right players for the right type of basketball that he wanted to do for that city. We're kind of in a bit of a rough spot in Phoenix. Robert Sarver suspended $10 million and a year. Conflict resolution, AC, it's something that you do every single day. What's the counsel? Two things. What's the counsel that you give for parents having this conversation in Phoenix with their children right now, if it is coming up? And secondly, what's your advice for CP3 and DeAndre and some of these vets to hold it together? It seems to be the missing link for me in becoming the Lakers, becoming the Warriors, the ethos that is culture that starts at the top, I believe. What's your advice for these guys?
Keep believing. You know, honestly, I live in LA and Phoenix. Okay. And so since my days, and as you talked about the mid 90s, I've always had residency there. And so I'm there quite a bit more than LA in reality. So I feel the pain from that standpoint. The quest and the hunt for that chip, okay, is always great. It's always fun. Only one team's going to win. But at the end of the day, it's going to really come down typically to that team that really understands you have to beat that team. You have to come together. You have to, self has to be checked at the door, and you got to play for each other. You have to be able to not only play for each other, but really go to battle and be willing to sacrifice it all for each other. And that sometimes even means family, family ideas and family quests and family time. You never put aside your family, but you have to make some sacrifices in regards to that also. If you're trying to honestly get to that level, if you're trying to just compete and you're trying to see how far things can go, how far you can roll dice, then okay, you know, you're probably going to get those results for that. But the ones that are willing to make that ultimate sacrifice overall, keeping the team together, teammates trying to stay together as opposed to trying to, you know, move to the next best opportunity, and finding that bridge in between, that's really what that's going to help develop that first level of championship DNA. Then you get a little success by winning just hopefully one championship, because you definitely better not try and count on and take for granted that you can do that and get to a point where you can say, oh, we're going to win multiple. No, one is the beginning. The success for the Phoenix Suns that they've had in the last couple of years, of course, I've been proud and very proud of what I've been seeing. But it is still that element that's sort of missing. The experience over the last couple of years can be a biggest, you know, benefactor going forward if they can stay healthy and they keep retooling, talking about tools, retooling in the right areas. That's going to continue to bring that experience as well as that fight and grit that a championship team really, really needs. But it does go back to everybody then becoming on one page, not their page, but one page for the team ultimately.
You nailed it. It's a microcosm, and I think we can get into the details of this yucky situation, but I think you nailed it. It's one team, one dream, all on the same page. When we see this work in the dynasties, the Miamis, the Bostons before them, your Lakers, this is what we've seen, and we are so hungry in Phoenix, AC, so hungry. I mean, my stomach still hurts every day from that playoff loss against Dallas. So thank you for keeping the faith, man. Thank you for giving us a reason to believe. We think that we're on track, but this had to happen with Sarver, because we have to see now, I hope, the leaders on this team, both front office and basketball, to really start aligning on that single page that you said, AC. We believe, baby.
Very, very true. It is. And you hit a good point, though, because the front office, look at the championship DNA and the championship level, so many recent and then just historically, the front office was intact. Okay. You don't normally have the drama that comes out of a front office that is not, has the ability to trickle down to the team and then on the court. You run and have a first-class organization. You might come up short, but your organization is ran in a top manner, first class, and your execs all understand that, and they all let it trickle down from top to bottom. And I think that's what, you know, does have to, the belt has to be tight. Okay, the screws got to be really, really tight, even more there within our Phoenix Suns. You know, so hopefully that can be done, and that's being worked on right now, because It's not always all on court. It's other departments out there. And that's what I loved, you know, being with the Colangelos at that particular time. What I felt it was the closest thing to being part of the Lakers, you know, as far as a first class organization that's ran really well, people trying to take care of the players, valuing the players, but really, up top, it was ran, you know, like a business, but also like a family. It was the best way they could, and they were getting to that point. It wasn't ideally the exact same, because there was only one Laker organization, but I tell you, it was on that path. And obviously, things have changed, as you said. You know, ownership change and structures change, and people now they find themselves enjoying the fact. And I just had this conversation last night. I said, you know, sometimes right now we're finding teams that just enjoy being a part of the club, you know, and they're the ownerships groups are just enjoy being a part of that ownership club, but not necessarily willing to make the sacrifices to do what needs to be done to be competitive there and then see the success and sustain at that level. And you know, that's equivalent to a young player just saying, I made it. And I told him, I said, I said this conversation last night. I said, hey, it's like a young player getting drafted, making it to the league, and not willing to work on their game and develop so they can stay in the league. Biggest analogy I can probably give in that same scenario.
It happens all the time. And AC, what we would give to have those days back when Jerry Colangelo was the owner, man. We end every interview with the segment we call one star to five star. I mentioned we're one stars. We're trying to get better with advice and tips from every guest we have on this podcast, like yourself. So I want to ask just a few questions that run the gamut on a one to five star scale, one being the lowest, five being the highest. Let's start it out. A one-star moment during your career was something that I remember vividly watching, and it was when J.R. Reed of the Knicks took an elbow to your jaw and knocked out a couple of teeth while you were with the Suns. It was an ugly moment, a one-star move by J.R. for sure, but it still, remarkably, didn't cause you to miss any games. Was that the closest you came during your Ironman streak to sitting out?
No, that was probably, I think mentally, that was probably a five-star mentally. And I say that only because it was a back-to-back night and I could not get to Utah. In my own mind, I wanted to go with the team to go to Utah. And once that game was over against the Knicks in Phoenix, next night we're playing in Utah. I'm like, I'm ready to go. Let's, you know, and you know, our doctors are like, no, you're not going right now. We need to do some tests. You know, we need to look at some things. And I'm like, okay, well, let's go. The game is in 9 hours. I got a game. And so went through that whole part. And so that was the mental anguish of it all. But from a physical standpoint, you sort of been through bumps in the road and fender benders. And so it was more of maybe a 1.5 star, if I equate it right, as far as the physical side. But it was just more of the mental side itself. But like you said, I was able to play and also just keep playing the rest of the time with. I just got that little my super Marvel mask on, the Iron Man mask, and that's where that actually came in.
You look good in that mask, AC. I love turning the one star moment into a five star moment. That's why we love you, AC. Second one here. You weren't known as a shooter when you played, but you were actually a really effective mid range guy during your career. Shooting threes was not the game for big men in the 80s and 90s like it is now. Right. So let's imagine if you played in today's era, again on a 1 to 5 star scale. What is the likelihood that AC Green would be known as a three-point shooter? Because the game is different now.
It's, you know, I would say it would probably be mid-star category, only because I'm thinking this, that my days in Phoenix reminded me of today's players and today's game, because it was up and down, but it was Paul Westphal had that free-flowing offense and everybody shoots a three. And so I went from not wanting and not even thinking about shooting threes to, no, everybody shoots threes. You need to work on this. And I had career high in attempts, makes, and all that other kind of stuff. And so that sort of I would be inside more because I still have that was my mentality. But I would sure definitely step out and stretch the floor today.
Is it taking Dan Marley's shots back in the day in Westphal's office? See, we need Marley taking those.
Oh, trust me. Dan got more than his share.
That's some nuts. You know, too, we had Detlef on last week on the pod, and we thought, man, he would be an ideal modern-day kind of NBA. Tall, three-pointer, could defend all the positions. You know, Detlef would probably be a good modern-day NBA player the way he played back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Det, no problem at all, because you hit it right on. He was Mr. Versatility right there. We played against each other in the pack at the time, me at Oregon State, him at Washington. And he was just always able to do everything. And I always admired and feared that about him, being a competitor with him and against him. So, yeah, he would be perfect.
All right, let's close this out with a G League question, something us three definitely loves. Sure. The G League, specifically the South Bay Lakers, one of the best leadership teams in the G League, a great venue in El Segundo, great staff with Cole and media relations. You're currently a member of the broadcasting team there. I was out to a game last year, and I just love the atmosphere, the talent, everything about G League basketball. But for listeners who might not be as familiar or looking for maybe a reason to catch a game, what's the five-star pitch that you would give for people to get into the G League?
Well, one, first and foremost, it's great basketball. Okay. It's great competitive basketball from the time the opening tip to that final buzzer. I mean, guys are out there playing their behinds off, and it's just, it's phenomenal. It really, really is. So you want to see competitive basketball. And these once again, are, you know, pro caliber level basketball players also. So these, you know, we have guys who've come through the draft. We have guys who've walked on. We have two-way players, all who participate in this G League level. And, you know, tomorrow's stars, you're going to find them in the G League, okay? You're going to find those guys playing in the G League. You might see them on a pro bench, but very seldom will you see them playing at that pro level. But you can actually watch them play and just go through that progression with them. And, you know, we have a chance. I think we had the most call-ups last year as far as the South Bay Lakers in the G League, if not the one of the top two teams. And that's because we believe definitely in creating opportunities and giving guys a chance. And by and large, we'd like to see stay within homegrown and with our parent Laker club. But at the same time, we spread the wealth around and guys get a chance. If they get a chance to be called somewhere else and you put that talent to use, then we're all for the growth of our particular players. And so Nick Mazzola has done a great job from our GM standpoint. Joey Buss, who really runs and the president over the whole organization, as far as just making sure calling, pushing all the right buttons. Those two have done a great job from that standpoint of just really seeing the right kind of players come, creating still the same atmosphere. The Laker girls are there every single day. You see from a professional standpoint, the entertainment value is like, it's like none other. So I just love it. And you can bring your whole family and have money left.
Okay? That's it.
So I love that fact too. It's really special. And last but not least, there's not a bad seat in our house. That's for sure. Okay. Nope. You can hear the sneakers squeak. You can, like I say, you can get all kind of swag as you get ready to leave. And you just feel the environment. It's like, great. It's just a great experience. And I think we have one of the best broadcasting teams also, but I'm a little biased.
Yeah. So you're a little biased. You're pretty good at it. One of my favorite happens to be the Santa Cruz Warriors up in Santa Cruz. They just got McClung, who was so fun to watch last year down in LA. It's a bummer you couldn't hang on to him, but I also love Kevin Dana. He does play by play for Santa Cruz. Not only are there great basketball players, there's great announcers in the G League who are coming up too. And guys, yep, like you, AC, do you want to be in the pros? Are you happy in calling games down in the G League? I mean, you're great either way. You have a dream of being up in the calling NBA games?
You know, I like being around the games themselves, you know, and as you've heard and we talked about earlier, you know, in this conversation, I'm about building young men. Okay. That's been part of my passion, part of my dream. And I'll do that. I've been doing it at both levels, but from a communication standpoint, wherever needed, as that really, really goes. I love calling our G League games. They're fun watching the progression of our young people and how they are actually getting it, you know, and they're starting to connect with what the opportunities really are. It's been fun. And so I tell Michael Thompson, who does a lot of our commentary, you know, for our Lakers, and he has done a fantastic job. And I tell Stu Lance the same thing. You know, Michael's on the radio, Stu's on TV. And I'm like, guys, I just want you to know I'm your biggest supporter. All right. But don't fall asleep.
the best out there. Supportive, but AC will take your job if the position becomes available. Everybody go to acgreen.com now. Read up on all the awesome things that he has going on with the foundation. Truly a class act guy doing great, great work to help the kids in every community that you touch. AC, thank you for coming on the One Star Recruits. We really appreciate you.
Indeed, guys. Appreciate the time. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you, AC. Thank you for carving out some time for the One Star Recruits. You know, Rip, you mentioned the Skyhook. All three of us are Arizona guys. We've got Queen Creek with Trevor, Tempe, Mesa with Rip and I. You know when the Skyhook was the best? Pool basketball. That's when it's a dominating shot. You guys ever play pool basketball and break out that hook shot?
Yeah, you're in the shallow end, like the 4 foot end, and you use your left leg to jump a little off the bottom of the pool, and you get the sky hook going. You feel like Kareem out there. He brings you up to like 6'10".
Yeah, that's when you can actually get up to the level of the rim. and do it. So then it feels more true to life, more accurate. Yeah. Pool basketball is a ton of fun. And you're right. The skyhook becomes that dominant weapon for you. Whereas, you know, in real life, Kareem can master it. But like you guys have said, nobody else really has been able to. And I'm definitely on that list of guys who could never get it down.
It's a tough thing, but pool basketball we're wrapping up summer, but all your Arizona listeners know how important the pool basketball. When you go out to a pool in Arizona and you see a basketball hoop, you know it's on. You see a basketball and you see those circular rings that sink to the bottom and a pair of goggles, that you got to be for 6 hours right there. Anyway, let's talk trades. So Rip, Trevor's amazing. Trevor, I'm going to give you some props here. Really great information on NBA trade opportunities, options, ways to think about trades.
Thank you.
You focus in LA and the Lakers. I got a question now because how do I say this? Okay. So with the Sarver situation, I'm just going to start from the scratch. So I understand the Phoenix Suns are going to go through this culture change, and I'm not expecting a championship this year. I'd love to see a miracle workout in Chris Paul and make it happen and Phoenix Suns ride off with a championship ring. But I know it's a top-down reboot, and that takes a little bit of time. We'll see what happens. With that said, we got Jay Crowder, who we're fans of. I love Jay Crowder's energy. I think he's rare on the basketball court. I think he does great things, but he doesn't want to be there, which is fine. Time to move on. What would it take to get him in a Lakers uniform? Because it seems like a really great fit to me.
Yeah, the Lakers are definitely lacking in wing players right now. You look, they're very guard heavy. In fact, you have four guys really who could conceivably be starting caliber point guards in Dennis Schroeder, Kendrick Nunn, Russell Westbrook, and Patrick Beverley. So they're very guard heavy. You don't have a lot on the wings aside from LeBron James and Anthony Davis. You can look at Wenyen Gabriel in there, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Troy Brown Jr. But again, in today's NBA, that's not enough to really cover the wing position, which has become the most important position in the league. So Jay Crowder can help you there. He can be that four that can space the floor, and certainly something that the Lakers need. The challenge, though, is with his salary at over $10 million. The Lakers, since they made that infamous Russell Westbrook trade, they just don't have many of those guys on the roster anymore that are making like that $10 to $13 million range that you've frequently seen thrown into deals or stacked up in order to get a bigger trade done. They don't have those contracts. Lonnie Walker can't be traded till I think it's December 15th. So even his $6 million and change you can't use. So realistically, to try to make a deal work, you'd be talking about Kendrick Nunn and then stacking up a couple of salaries. Maybe it would be Wenyen Gabriel, another veteran minimum guy or something like that. And I don't know how much interest the Suns would have there. If the Lakers had a contract on the books that was around $10 million that they could, you know, throw to the Suns and they had some interest in that, maybe there's some draft capital or whatever, mm-hmm. then there'd be an easier path to getting that done. But while the Lakers could certainly use Jay Crowder's skill set, it's not easy to see a way that logistically they can make a trade actually work under the rules of the CBA.
That's the real inside information. But in my fantasy head, that's a great match for LeBron. Seems like a LeBron guy, right, Rip? They played together. Cleveland, am I wrong?
I'm not sure about that. But, I mean, I know the last, I think, 3 years, Jay Crowder's been in the conference finals or the finals every year. And, yeah, just a great teammate. We're going to be sad to see him go on the Suns. I think is it that Russell Westbrook albatross contract that's kind of holding everything down, Trev? Is that the problem?
Well, I mean, Russell Westbrook's contract is the biggest contract that they've got to potentially move, but it's also the only, you know, you've got Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, AD, who are all on max deals. And then after that, your next highest contract would have been Talen Horton Tucker. He would have been in that $10, $11 million range, but you already traded him away to get Patrick Beverley. Patrick Beverley can't be re-aggregated in another deal. You could trade him solo if you wanted, and he's at about $13 million. So I guess you could do a Patrick Beverley for Jay Crowder swap, but they went and traded for Patrick Beverley for a reason. So that's why I omit him from the list there. It's a challenge for the Lakers when you've got a guy like Westbrook on the roster that's eating up that much of your salary cap and then not giving you that much production. I think the Lakers knew when they traded for us that he wasn't going to give you $47 million worth of production. That's just not who he is anymore. But they were hoping that you would get, you know, maybe $25 million out of Russell Westbrook. Maybe he would be kind of a low-level all-star player. They didn't get that, and so that has set them back even further, and trying to make deals work is even more challenging when you've got that salary on the books, like you said.
We got the guru. Well said. I mean, I think they're going to start the season as is. I know a lot of Lakers fans want a couple more tweaks here because it doesn't feel comfortable. I'm not even a Lakers fan, but it doesn't feel comfortable right now. I'm most excited Laker-wise. Actually, it's kind of a lame thing, but it's a cool thing for me. I'm most excited about JTA. I think that's a great pickup. I'm excited to see him grow with LeBron. see kind of what that development turns into from a player side. How about you guys? Trevor, what are you most excited about for the Lakers season? And then what are you most terrified about?
So I'm excited to see Darvin Ham. I'm excited to see what wrinkles he brings into the system. We've heard he's a great motivator. We don't know what he's going to do in terms of X's and O's. He's talked about playing a four out, one in system, a la the Milwaukee Bucks. So I think you're going to see some wrinkles of that. Challenge, though, to run that with the Lakers when you don't have the shooting required to do something like that. So I'm interested to see what wrinkles Darvin Ham brings into things. What kind of energy do the guys play with on a night-to-night basis? Because that was an issue last season for this team. You mentioned Juan Toscano-Anderson, certainly an energy guy. Patrick Beverley, how does this new team come together in terms of the chemistry, which obviously was off last season? Can those wrongs be righted this year? What I'm terrified of is, what if we see them come out of the gates and stumble? Because I'll tell you this, the fan patience, it's very, very, very thin. It got really bad between Russell Westbrook and Lakers fans in LA, in the arena. It was not a good situation, and we could find ourselves back in that place very, very quickly. Again, after last season, which I have frequently called the worst season in Lakers history in terms of fan experience, it was absolutely miserable. Dang. watching that team. No, not in terms of wins. They've had worse records than that, but in terms of the fan experience, last season was horrible. And so patience is already very thin because those wounds haven't quite healed from last season. So this could get ugly if they stumble early on, and particularly if a lot of the same issues that we saw last season persist. So that would be my fear, that it could go back to that very dark place if we see more of the same from what we saw last season.
Lakers Nation insider Trevor Lane with a fast start. Great. It gotta happen this year, I think. Otherwise, the West is way too strong, and then you're just fucking, you know, treading water, trying to survive there. Rip, how about you? You're most terrified of with the Lakers. You gonna say AD's health? Someone's got to be scared of Anthony Davis's health here.
I mean, look, I'm a dad of two kids, and we go to the park and they play at the playground. And what the dads do is we sit around and we talk NBA, right? Just watch the kids play at the playground. And I had a conversation yesterday, a huge Laker fan, shout out to G Gutierrez. And I mean, I think all Lakers fans are concerned the most about the shooting, right? Like, no, the Lakers just don't have shooting. Even these guys they signed, Patrick Beverley, Lonnie Walker, like not known as shooters. But to me, like, I'm actually rooting for what Russell Westbrook now, because I generally root for the underdog. And I feel like he's probably the biggest underdog in the whole league at this point. But I think it's kind of an easy fix. If you just have him not shoot threes anymore, the percentages will go up as a team. I mean, his main skill to me is driving to the hoop, right, and passing. So if you just eliminate those three-pointers where he shoots like 28, 29% or whatever the hell it is, just don't shoot threes, Russ, and you'll be a much better player. Take it to the hoop, go to the foul line. That's my theory on how he can fix his game a little bit and get the fans behind him more. Because when he shoots those threes, man, it's just terrible.
You shaking your head, Trev. Stop shooting threes, Russ. Do you agree with that?
The above the break threes. Yeah, the corner threes. He shot a decent percentage from last season. And from what we've heard, the Lakers' plan is to encourage him to shoot more of those. It's important for Darvin Ham's fast break. Like, if you ever watch the Bucks fast break, you see – if there's three guys out on the break, two of them run to the corners, right? That's what you see in order to space the floor. The Lakers want Russell Westbrook to do that. They want him to be a guy who's willing to run to the corner and then shoot the corner three when it's available. But I think they would prefer to see him not shoot the above the break threes, which again is huge. But there's a lot of other stuff that he's got to clean up with his game too. But yes, not shooting those above the break threes would certainly help. Teams don't defend him out there anyway, so I don't think it's going to change your floor spacing all that much if he just decides to attack the rim each time and go for it. But we'll see if the Lakers can get him to play the style of game that people have been saying for years he needs to ultimately adjust to. His back is against the wall, contract year. We'll see what he does.
Big we'll see. The internet's been killing it with the let Russ cook memes. They have been so funny, man.
Well, that's a Russell Wilson thing, though, right?
It's all of them for me.
It's all you put them all together.
I put them in with Russell Westbrook too, because it's the same thing. You let them boys cook. You never even know. Hey, we had some good one star bumps this week, Rip. We have our guy Zylan Cheatham. Did he sign?
Yeah, so he's back with the Pelicans on a training camp deal. Zylan Cheatham from Arizona State. Hopefully he makes the squad this year. If not, it looks like he'll probably be back with the Birmingham squadron, the G League. Okay. And something similar is our guy, LiAngelo Ball, who we had on earlier this year. He signed another training camp deal with the Hornets, DK, but back with LaMelo. And
that's a
we'll
shooter.
See if he can make the squad.
Let's go, Lakers Nation. Get on him. That's a shooter for you. I see you shaking your head, Trevor.
I don't know.
I mean, he can shoot the ball. I think he wants to play with his brother. And so that's what we're seeing take place here. Hopefully he sticks. We'll see. But there's a lot of guys right now that are going to be trying to play their way onto rosters during training camp and during preseason. It's going to be one of the storylines to watch around the NBA. Who is it that can really turn heads and maybe get teams to make some roster space for them?
Let's go. We're rooting for our guy, Mac McClung, up there with the Warriors. We got a non-NBA one-star bump rip. This was kind of funny because who would have thought? We did a score check. Our guy at Stephen F. Austin, head coach Kirby Cathart, beat Warner 98-0, bro, in football. Is that right? Am I reading that right?
That was right. It was kind of all over Twitter. Warner was an NAIA school. People were wondering why that was even on the schedule. But yeah, Coach Carthel down in Nacogdoches, 98-0. Ooh,
98-0. Wow. I think they maybe just played against Kurt Warner.
Yeah, 11-on-1.
Crazy, crazy. Trevor, one thing that Rip does really, really well in life is he's really good at booking guests for small podcasts and big podcasts. Do you have a guest throughout your entire memory growing up, idol, some dream guest that you may never hear of that you would love to hear an interview that Rip could add on his Go Chase list? Who would that be, Trevor? Who would be just a dream person in Trevor Lane's life?
Oh, if you get Magic Johnson on, that would be absolutely, absolutely incredible. I know he can be very, very difficult to get, but Magic Johnson would be a fantastic interview. If there was any way to get him, that would be definitely high up on my wish list.
Have you guys had him on Lakers Nation?
No, we haven't. We haven't. He's been in, you know, we've been in like interview scrums and stuff with him before, but a one-on-one interview, we haven't been able to do that.
Out of lockdown. Maybe Rip, add that to your list. Maybe you can hook up our guys at Laker Nation if it crosses your plate. I don't even know how he does it, but he's very good at it. One last thing that we do on this podcast that we're really good at. Not actually, just kidding. This is probably one of the worst things that I'm at on the podcast. We do recommendations of the week every podcast. Anything that just made us feel good in life, made us smile. We had a good time. We enjoyed it. Want to share it with the world. We do these recommendations. Rip, lead us off this week. Juan Pierre, this thing.
Yeah, so Trev, usually we do like a television show, a product, anything that kind of added some value to your life this week. And this week I have a financial tip. My wife actually brought me to it. It's something called I-bonds. Right now, everyone knows inflation rate is crazy. There's these I-bonds that you can buy through treasurydirect.com. You have to keep them for a year. It's a minimum of a year and then anything up to 20 years. But right now the interest rate is 9.62%, which if anyone knows, it savings account are given like 3% interest right now. These things are, you can invest up to $10,000 per person per year for these I bonds. It's at treasurydirect.com. It's a 9.62% interest rate. If you put in 10 grand, you're getting $962 of interest after a year. It's one of the best, safest investments out there. It's through the government. So everyone go put some money into I bonds.
This is not a financial recommendation show, listeners. You're making investments in the recession. A strong move. Trevor, what do you got, man? Recommendation of the week. What's something that made you feel good this week?
Well, it's funny because mine's actually financial as well. Here's what I did was I used to have on my phone, I had my stock apps were on my home screen. So I could see what was happening. I took those off my home screen. And that has been the biggest benefit to my overall mental health. Because if you've seen what the market has been doing, it has been absolutely terrible. But removing that, I'm just saying, look, I'm going to ride this out. It's easier to do it when you're not looking at it every single second of every single day. So I decided I am going to banish this from my home screen. I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to sit here and look at it every single day. And it's made a big difference. I feel much more at peace with things than I was certainly last week.
It's addition by subtraction, man. I love it.
Yep.
So smart. Like Joe Burrow, me too. We took social media off our home screens. In fact, off our phones completely. No more social media. You want it? You got to go dig it up somewhere on another computer. Good one, bros. Damn, financial. Now I feel like a jabroni, but fuck it. Here we go. Netflix has a chef's table that's new this I think it's this month, I want to say, but it's a pizza edition. I gunned through the first three episodes. It is so, so good. If you guys have ever watched Chef's Table, it is probably the best cooking show that exists, in my opinion. It's on Netflix. Big Arizona guy. If you love pizza, you'll love it. There's Pizzeria Bianco. Have you been there, Rip?
No, they're known for their white sauce, right?
He does a white pizza, still delicious. It's the guy, Chris Bianco. He is the pizza god, and he set up shop in Arizona, and he uses all local ingredients from the Valley, which is awesome. Learn a lot about the Valley as far as like food and flour and stuff I didn't know. So you learn some shit, and if you love pizza, I mean, who doesn't love pizza? This is the show for you. So Chef's Table just dropped Pizza Edition on Netflix. Rec of the week. There it is.
Wow, look at you. You're such a Netflix guy, man. Every other week, you're just telling us something to watch off Netflix.
I might be a loser. You might be saying that I'm a loser on the low. You guys are doing financial advice. I'm watching pizza shows. Nevertheless, the podcast was 5 stars. Trevor Lane, you're a legend. Where can listeners find you and keep up with you? Where can Lakers Nation find you?
Yeah, you can find most of my work over on the Lakers Nation YouTube channel, as well as the LakersNation.com podcast. You can find that stuff on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. We're also going to be live during every Lakers game. We're going to be presenting our own stream of the game over on Playback, and you can find links for that all over our YouTube channel. It's a lot of fun covering the Lakers. It is dramatic every season, so come join us. We do talk through everything directly with fans. We take questions and comments directly from all of our listeners. It's a good time. So that's where you can find me most of the times, either on the podcast or over on the YouTube channel. And then on social media, most of my stuff over on Twitter @Trevor_Lane, on Instagram @TrevorLaneNBA.
5 star bros, Lakers Nation. Enjoy this guy. Great energy. Rip, you got great energy. You know what? Here's what we can offer you, brother. Rip, let's set up an outing where you take Trevor out to a G League game. You guys chill with AC. Give him the full tour down there. And we'll build some new bonds down there with the South Bay Lakers. You guys down?
That's a great idea. They got food trucks over there in El Segundo, great seats, like we mentioned, and I'm sure the Lakers are going to bring in some good prospects this year. So always down for that.
All right, cool. Fellas. All right. Well, hey, take it easy. We'll be back next week. We're going to keep the NBA train going. We got a guy who I don't even have any good hints. One of the better point guards who's ever played the game coming up next week. 5 stars. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. DK, we can call AC Green a fan favorite from the Showtime Lakers. We got a Lakers fan favorite from another era, Mark Madsen, Mad Dog, we had on the pod not too long ago. We're going to go to a clip from that episode with Mark Madsen talking about what Kobe Bryant taught him as a Laker and as a human. Let's go to this clip with Mark Madsen. Check out the rest of the episode with Mark Madsen wherever you get podcasts, 1 Star Recruits.
I mean, Kobe did so much for me to help me in my career. I think the biggest thing, and it's, you know, when I played in college, and the college environment, it's high stakes, it's a lot of pressure, but it's nothing compared to playing with the Lakers. So when I got to the Lakers, Kobe just, he wanted me to be better. He wanted to push me. I think he respected me because I always played hard, but he wanted me to try to do more in games. You know, sometimes my man would go and double Kobe. And when that happens, he wanted me to dive to the rim and get a layup. Well, sometimes I was probably nervous to do it. And so Kobe would get after me so hard. He said, anytime your man comes to double me or Shaq, you have to flash to the middle of the paint and make a play. And so he was pushing me to expand my game. And, you know, it just helped me. And you know, you're not perfect at this stuff right away because it happens fast in a game. Sometimes you're looking somewhere else in a game that the speed is so fast. But as he pushed me and he went at me sometimes, that helps me so much. And I will always be so grateful to Kobe for just pushing me to be the best person I could be. Even when at times it made me very uncomfortable, and it was hard. It was hard, but I will always be grateful to Kobe for pushing me to be the best player I can be.